importance of Bible study, I always say, cannot be overemphasized. One of the things that God always wants us, He has given us His words. You know, it's like if someone leaves you, and maybe an elderly person is going away, and he knows that she's about to pass on, what they do is they leave you their words, they leave you their blessings. And those words have, you know, the ability of keeping and sustaining. And, you know, this world, this entire creation that we have was founded on the words. The words of God. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Everything He created, God spoke into it. So there is a power that comes from hearing the scriptures. The Bible tells us faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is a power that comes from to live by the word of God. You know, and the Bible tells us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, there is an importance of scriptures, because scriptures are God Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So anytime we come to Bible study, or we come to meet the scriptures, we are coming to meet God, and is the clearest way that He speaks to us. And I believe that God always uses every time and opportunity to minister to our needs, to minister to our hearts. And what I always encourage us is, anytime the word is being spoken, listen to what God is saying beyond the words, because the voice of God will always seep through His scriptures. Where His scriptures are, that is where the word of God comes. There are people who their clearest thoughts come when the preacher is preaching. Why? It's because that's when God is speaking to them. God has caught their attention. So when the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it's because in that moment when we are listening to the word of God, then we can distinguish the voices, and we can hear the voice of God. Because many times it's possible to confuse our own thoughts with the thoughts of God, or with the voice of God, and that's because of that personal bias. You know, there's always that desire for wanting something, but it might not be the will of God. So it's very important that God helps us to discern the voices, to discern what is from us, to discern what is from the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit of God, and also to discern what might be from the enemy, you know, from the carnal nature that just wants to be contrary to God. So anyway, today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4. And I just want us to take a time to discuss and to just listen and then go through. You know, just as a background to this, you know, there's a lot of debate that's currently, you know, in the circles about once saved, always saved, or losing salvation. The importance, I mean, someone put it somewhere that, oh, if a Christian becomes a Muslim, they will still remain a Christian, and they will continue to go to heaven. And funny things that have been out there. But whenever we read the scriptures, we always see clear warnings that it's possible to hear the word of God. It's possible for the word of God to come to you. But there is a period between when the word of God comes and when you entering into that rest, when you enter into that promise of God. Because one of the things that God does is God always releases a promise beforehand, such that no one can argue that God spoke it. You know, when God can give you a word that, you know what, you're going to be a man of God, you're a servant of God, or I'm going to do this for you. But then it doesn't happen immediately. And you're like, but God, where are you? Where are your words? You know, what happened? I mean, I expected by this time this should have happened. You know, you can think of David. He's anointed before his brothers to be king, but then he goes back to the bush to take care of the few sheep of his father. And unless one has the heart that understands how God works, it's possible to have a hardened heart, to develop resentment towards God, and it's possible to be disappointed and to lose our way. Think about Joseph. Joseph sees the vision that he's going to be a great person, that his father, his mother, his brothers are going to bow down before him. And the next moment he's you know, thrown into a pit by his brothers. He's sold into slavery, and he's working as a slave, and he's accused falsely. He's sent into prison, and it's possible that he may have doubted where God is. But you see, there is something that's consistent about God, is that God speaks and God always ensures there's a promise of us. And let's read Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, referring to God, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So he's concerned, and I believe Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews, although there are people who argue various other authors because it's not clearly mentioned. But the author clearly tells us that he is concerned that some people might have fallen short of the promise of rest. There's a promise that God has given that everyone will enter his rest. Verse 2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they had did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who had it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying, David, today, after such a long time, it has said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he will not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So let me take a pause there and just reflect on what we are seeing. The author is trying to bring a comparison between the Israelites and the believers of today, and starts to express that the gospel was preached to the Israelites. They had the word of God. They knew that they were to enter into the promised land, to enter into Canaan. God had promised them he will take them out of Egypt and from the wilderness into a land flowing with milk and honey. That word was spoken to them. And they were told if they believe it, if they stayed with it, they will enter into God's rest. But then the Bible says the gospel was preached to them and also to us, but it was possible that the word that they received did not profit them. God has sent a word to you. God has spoken even before you are and you where you are, and your present circumstance does not reflect the word that God has spoken. And so it's possible that that word can fail to manifest, because what we desire is the manifested word, and that word can fail to manifest, especially even though we had it, we had what God spoke, but if we do not mix it with faith. Now, faith, I mean, we always get the definition, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith has to do with believing. And faith has to have a vision of what God has spoken, even though it has not manifested in the physical. So, when you say that the word was spoken, and you mix it with faith, then you are not only believing what God has said, but you're also seeing it, because you have an evidence of things that are not seen. But that does not mean that it's not there. But beyond that also, we know that faith without actions is dead. So your faith sees what God has said even before it has manifested, and then speaks it, because there's something about faith that confesses, the word of faith that we speak. Remember when we read Romans chapter 10, this is the word of faith that we speak, that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. So there is a believing, and there is a speaking, and that's confession, and then there is the action, the acts of faith that demonstrate that we have believed. Now, the Israelites did not enter the rest of God because they did not mix it with faith. What are some of the things that made them not enter into the rest of God? Remember, they complained. In fact, they spoke ill of God. In fact, God says that they complained against him. They murmured against him these 10 times. You know, a people have been brought out. They have seen mighty miracles that brought them out of Egypt. And then just because of lack of water, a temporary need at that precious moment, then they question, why did Moses bring us into the wilderness so that we can die? Why did God bring me into the wilderness so that I can die? And you can see there is that heart that murmurs, and that heart that complains, and that heart that declares God to be unjust. Now, there are times in the wilderness when you will find that it's easy to even discredit God and to speak ill of God, in that because that present circumstance in that moment does not reflect what God has said, yet there have been mighty deliverances before. So you can see the Israelites had mighty deliverance, but they complained, they murmured against God, and they wanted to go back. And beyond that, at the first instance of where Moses left them, they just said, "Where we don't know what has become of Moses, that fellow, make us an idol." So they brought their gold earrings and all that. They put it into the fire. And Aaron says, the calf came out. And the people were worshiping. So you can easily find yourself turning to idols in such moments. And that is to, it demonstrates that you miss the faith. And the word came, but it will not profit you. It's just like someone who God has spoken something, but then now you find yourself going to a witch doctor. You know, someone has been trusting God for healing. God has got God to bless them, to open a door, you know, for something to happen. And then the more it delays, then you see someone saying, I think God delays. Let me go to another person. Let me go to an idol. Let me go to this other person to pray for me. Your heart knows that this person is wrong, but you go there because of desperation. Now, God is saying that these guys could not enter into the rest that God had prepared for them, and the word did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. They complained, they murmured, and then also you can see what verse 6 says, that they did not enter because of disobedience. Now, there is disobedience, unfortunately, or does not at times appear in the big things. At times, disobedience is in the tiny things, is in the small things. I was just thinking that, and then you were having a conversation with someone, and you're on social media, and there's all this, you know, hype about this, you know, new series that is out about, you know, polygamy and all that, and from all the reviews you can see it just points towards this is just an immoral thing. But then what question someone is that you find that it's actually Christians who are promoting and discussing and, you know, doing it, and you're like, but what are we showing to the world, and what is it that would make one clearly know that this is something that does not end me well? You know, you've pushed yourself to go after the flesh, yet clearly you know that this is not of God. Now, when we say disobedience, they did not enter because of disobedience. God always wants our obedience. for us to profit from God, there is a profiting that comes from obedience, even in the simplest of things. Now, apart from disobedience, there's also something else that caused them not to enter, which is what is called the hardening of the heart. When the Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Why? Because those guys, the Israelites, they hardened their heart. What happens when someone has hardened his heart? Think about it like a relationship where a husband and a wife are married, and all of a sudden you realize someone has grown cold to you. There's a hardened heart. The person that used to smile, or maybe a relative who used to help you, but you go and they don't want to see you, something has hardened their heart. Now, that hardening of heart is usually a gradual process that either comes from resentment, from bitterness, from unforgiveness, from unmet expectations. And that often occurs because someone expected something from God now or from someone, and because they did not get it, then they become hardened. Now, the Israelites, over time, their hearts were hardened that even they go to the point they asked, where is that God? Are we not alone? You know, so it's possible for your heart to be hardened. And when a heart is hardened, it actually scoffs at God. It says, ah, you guys who say that you believe in God, you're just wasting your time. God does not exist. God is not real. Now, when I share this, it's not that I share from a point of, oh, I'm up there. No, I too have gone through this. And the things that you share out of, you know, mistakes that you did and also out of things that you went through. I remember there was a time when I went through so much, and it was a time I had a surgery. I mean, God had led me to do that. But then after the surgery, I went into, you know, a mental breakdown, you know, and where you go into a state where you're given a diagnosis. And then beyond that, I lost my mind. I jumped from, you know, second floor window of my campus and, you know, broke my hands, my stomach opened and all that. And I was going through this phase where I was like, where are you, God? You know, where are you? And what the enemy does is that he points you and he speaks to you that, you know what, actually God does not exist. God is not real. Why? Because if obedience to God leads you in this direction where you are shamed, where you are mocked, where people have a reason to speak against you or against your God, then that God does not exist. And I remember I got to a place of a hardened heart, and I got to a place where I convinced myself, you know what, God is not real. God does not exist. And I was like, you know what, I'm an animal. I want to live as an animal. I will wake up, I will do whatever I need to do. And I mean, whatever life happens will happen. And I remember I one day spoke to my dad about it, and I told him, you know what, Dad, I don't believe in your God. Yes, he may be there, but I don't think he really cares about us. He cares about any human being or anyone. And then my dad simply said, my son, I love you. It's okay with what you're going through. I love you. That's all. Gave me a hug and never spoke about it again. Until that process of that pain, until when God had to break down that, those walls, you know, because they are thoughts that are built up by the enemy, and they eventually become strongholds, and they convince you are contrary to who God is, and that leads to the hardening of the heart. Now, God says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, if you harden your heart, then that means you have blocked your ears from listening to the instructions of God or from believing God, and you now scoff at God. You consider God to be not important or God to not exist, and it becomes a place where it's only the mercy of God that can bring you. Now, in as much as all this happened, God still gave a promise to them that, look here, a day is still ahead. You can still enter into the rest of God. And what is the interesting thing about the rest of God? The Bible says, for he who has entered into his rest as has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Now, when God rested, the Bible tells us he rested on the seventh day and he was refreshed. Now, God, at that point, he no longer is doing the work of creation. You know, God works in a way that he does everything in seed form. Everything, every chair, every computer was already in the mind of God when God made the minerals, when God made the trees. The man can do all that. But already the seed is there that God has already created it. Now, God says, when God has rested from all his works, there is a, it's like a confidence in the word of God that whatever he has spoken will come to pass. You see, like the judgment of Satan is already done, completed. When Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Not that he's falling. Fall. He fell. He fell like lightning from heaven. That means to God, there are things that are already done. There are things that are already completed. Like, salvation is something that Christ has already completed in eternity for us. He died, he shed his blood before the foundations of the earth, the lamb was slain. He entered into the sanctuary not made by human hands, took his blood, and that blood is available to speak for us salvation forever. Now, for us is to connect to what God has done. That's why the Bible says, for he who has entered into God's rest will cease from their own work. Now, this works does not mean that there are not things that you will do for the kingdom of God. No, but this is where you are trying to achieve what God has already accomplished for you. There is a rest that God gives his people, and that's a peace, a calmness, a confidence, assurance in a God who loves you. When the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with judgment. So there is a perfect love of God that takes away fear. And fear brings in lack of faith. So it's either you're having faith or you're having fear. And God said you did not receive a spirit of fear, but you received a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That means the power of God is available for you. The love of God keeps you in check. The love of God keeps you grounded. That you must constantly remind yourself that, you know what, I am loved of God. Okay, yes, I don't have a job for now, but have I slept hungry? No. There are people who lost their job, they have lost their homes, they have lost their land, they have lost their cows, you know, their cars and all that, they've been reduced to nothing. But you see, God can still sustain you even in periods of hunger and famine until you recognize that he is God, until that period is over. And at times we can't fight seasons. Seasons must come and go, but seasons are never permanent. That's one thing we know about seasons. They are never permanent. Day and night, summer and winter, heat, you know, and cold, they shall never cease. That means it is not permanent. We know that this is a period that will come and it shall end. Let us look at verse 11. The Bible says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So God wants us to be diligent to enter the rest that God has promised. There is a certain diligence of heart. There's a certain commitment to God. There's a certain relationship that we maintain. There is a fire that keeps us in that place. There are things, you know, we call them little things. Read your Bible, pray every day. That communion with God on your own. It looks like it's basic, but those are the simple, simple building blocks that add up and you find yourself doing great things for the kingdom of God. And you wonder how. When did you learn all this? No. It is something that was built step by step. You know, in the spirit, you are growing from one level of glory to another. You're being conformed to the image of Christ day by day. Each and every time you hear, each and every time you listen, each and every time you encourage yourself with the scriptures, you are continually being moved into God. Now, God says, verse 12, for the word of God, this is the word that he has spoken, is living and active, is alive. It's powerful. That means God's word has life in itself. What God has spoken is already working. It's living and powerful. And the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, double-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. That means it can divide even the thinnest of distinctions. You know, it's very hard for us to distinguish our soul and spirit. Where is that dividing line? It's very hard. In the inner man, it's very hard. But God says God's word is able to distinguish that which is from the soul, which is from your mind, and that which is from the spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents, attitudes of the heart. The word of God is able to seep through each and every moment. And the Bible says, and there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes to whom we must all give account. Let us finish this and then we can reflect. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And then I wanted to read this because confession is very important. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace and find grace to help in time of need. You see, when he starts to speak about Christ, Jesus walked this earth as a man. He suffered hunger, he suffered pain, he was beaten, he was abused, he was ridiculed, he was shamed, he was nailed to a cross as a man. And that's what the Bible says, we do not have one who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted, but was without sin. So if we are to be like him and we hold fast to our confession, that means that which God has spoken, you keep speaking it. That which God has spoken, you keep believing it. That which God has spoken, you keep your heart in the place of rest, knowing that, you know what? This is not something that I will labor about. God is going to come through. I don't need to pay a bribe. I don't need to do underhand things. No, God is going to come through. That's why the Bible says he was tempted in all points, yet was without sin. And then the Bible says, now because he has conquered on our behalf, he has entered that rest, he has prepared that rest. The mansions are ready that he has prepared. The Bible says, now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace means the mercy of God. You can come with confidence to the throne of grace that you might find. You know, that word find there is lambano. Greek is lambano. That means there's a certain holding on that you take it by faith. You grab hold of truth that you might find mercy and grace. You may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. You know, you might need help now, or you might need help in the future. At times we don't know when we are receiving grace. This grace, is it for now or for tomorrow? Yes, there is a time you need it now, and God is able to give it. But also, continually, anyone that comes to the throne of grace, throne of mercy, throne of God, and where you just say, I'm not coming on my effort. You're not coming on your righteousness. You're coming on what Christ has done. And you recognize and acknowledge your weaknesses, your infirmities. And you tell God, you know what, God? Me, I need your grace. Me, I need your mercy. I have tried on my own. I can't make it. On my own, I can't do it. But with you, you are merciful. You are gracious. And God is a God that answers. God is a God of favor. God is a God of grace. The Bible says you will obtain it. You will find it. We've spoken a number of things about the rest of God. about making this word profit for us, about the state of our hearts when in this period of waiting, in this period of waiting for the manifestation. May God help us. May God strengthen us to stay in that place. I'll call upon us to reflect in what comes to your mind, what comes to your heart. How does the word make you feel? Over my brethren.
Thank you so much for sharing the word. And just to say that I like how you started with the introduction that God has given us the word. And I remember I was just watching a sermon, I think on Saturday, and one of the apostles that was sharing that word was saying, we don't speak. He was giving the example of Jesus, and he was saying when the enemy came to Jesus, Jesus did not tell the devil, you know, I'm the son of God, because he knew. And so what is tested is not your identity, it's your words, the word of God in your life. And so Jesus just said, it is written. And he was basically emphasizing the importance of the word. The word, us as believers, feeding ourselves on the word, so that every time a situation comes, you know which word to counter it with. And so that introduction was such a reminder today that indeed, yes, God has given us his word, and we have everything we need in the word. And coming now specifically to this Hebrews 4, I think I have just two things to say, just in terms of contribution. Again, thank you for expounding the word. The first thing, every time I go through this scripture, I remember is that we have such an assurance in the Lord that God just reminds us that we have a priest, we have a high priest, and this high priest is compassionate, and he's moved by our infirmities. Some translations say that, and it's always, I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it, especially like you said, when we are going through tough situations that have been persistent for years. There are times I sit down and I'm like, but I know Jesus, you went through the earth, you took the form of a man, so you know the frustration I'm feeling, you know the pain I'm feeling in my body, especially if it's to do with sickness and infirmity. You know the emotional turmoil of someone not having peace because of a situation. And the word says you are moved with compassion. And you're seated at the right hand side of the Father and you're interceding for me. How come it doesn't feel like it? You know, like sometimes I'm just at that place where and I think that is what, I don't know, we refer to the battle of faith, because then you know God's word. You know what you're expecting, but at that particular time of testing, or what we say when you're in the wilderness, it doesn't quite look like it. And I think for me, what I have come to the place of understanding is the word will be tested. And I think for me, I go to Psalm 9 or something, where it says, before the word that Joseph had given came to pass, it tested him and it tested his character. So I think I've come to the place of realizing that the word of God in my life will be tested. So in those seasons where the reality of what I'm going through does not match what the word of God is saying, it just reminds me of the parable that Jesus said, when the word fell, some of it fell on the thorns, on the sand, on, you know. So it's about, do I hold on to the word regardless of what I'm seeing until the circumstance changes? Or do I just waver my faith and say, perhaps this word was, you know, was not meant for me? So that element of the compassionate high priest is the first thing that I love about this scripture. And then the second part is the part that says the word of God is living and powerful. There's a scripture that says the word of God is a command. And when it leaves the mouth of God, it's like, you know, it's sent to the earth to perform something. And we also know, I think that scripture is somewhere in Psalms. And then we also have another word in Isaiah that says the word of God cannot go to God, to leave God and come back void. So I think for me, when I look at all these three scriptures together with this one in Hebrews that says the word of God is living and powerful, it's, I've always felt, I know this, but again, it's always good to be reminded. I know that the word of God can solve anything. I'm one person that has seen it over and over in my life and in other people's lives. I know some people think it's cliche, but for me, it's not cliche. Like, I know the word of God can solve anything. Like, the word of God can solve hunger. The word of God can give you money. The word of God, because we know everything that God created is in the word. But I think what happens over time, because we live in such a sinful world, and the enemy, of course, of our soul has learned the tactics of deception. I keep saying he's been there for eternity. So the thing is, he's a bit older than us. So us mortals, because you've just come into existence, of course, we're going to live in eternity. But on this side of the earth, he's been there a bit longer than us, eh? So he's just mastered the art of deception. And if we remember, even from the beginning, the first thing he told Eve, did God really say, you know? So he always comes, and the thing is, and the word of God really solved this issue, you know? Yet we sometimes, I even have multiple scriptures about my situation, but I think because of that aspect of waiting on God, and you know, a year goes and another year goes, you just get to this place where, as a mortal, you begin to feel like perhaps this, you know, this is not what I need to be pushing for. But I think for me today, I've just received encouragement, and thank you for sharing this word of exhortation, that the word of God is all I need. I know that, but sometimes it just feels like I need a reminder that if I have the word of God, I can change any situation. And so thank you so much for sharing these scriptures.
Thanga, thank you for your reflections. Yes, Ralph, come in.
Okay, thank you all. Good evening or good afternoon, Doug and Caroline. Yeah, it's always good to hear the word of God, and you see, the word is, for me, it's very timely, because in the wilderness period where God has spoken to me, his word through his servants and also directly to me, but at the same time, like Caroline was saying, there's an expectation, you are expecting God to move on your behalf, you're expecting things to move, and but, you know, things don't move the way that you want. Like I was laughing at myself last week, some of the positions that I've been applying, and I think in my life, in my career since I started working, this is the longest period that I have not been attached to any organization. You know, I was used to, you know, choosing, hoping, you know, and. But now, even those positions that you feel like, okay, you'll be shortlisted for this, where I would ordinarily say I will not take this position, when you apply for those positions, you're not even shortlisted. And so I was just laughing, and I was saying, okay, what does this mean? God, does this mean that you have forgotten me? Does this mean that your word is not true? Does it mean that what you say through your servants is also not true? So I've been reflecting a lot, and hearing this word also encouraging that I also remain rooted and in the word, understanding, because the Bible says that believe his word, believe his prophets, and you shall be established. So I know the word, and I'm very much rooted in the word. But it's to be honest, it's practically it's very difficult, because we know what God is saying. We've got the pressures. I'm a family man. I've got kids who needs to go to school and everything else. You know, their lives have to go on, and daddy has to step up. And like you said, Doc, I'm grateful and I'm thankful to say that even in this difficult time, there is not even a single day where we have said that we have slept without eating. We have been able to even, you know, choose what we want to eat. So it's something that we are really grateful to God for. But I think it is interesting also when you look at the word to say the approach, the mess and grace, they are used, you know, one word after the other. I don't know if mess and grace used in the same sentence. I think it's also the reassurance that is coming from God to say that he has our back, you know, and there are so many scriptures to back that in the word. And I think what we just need to do is we need to trust in the process of God, the refinement. Because if we go back to what we learned last week in the study, in Isaiah 43, you know, even if you go through difficult moments, through the fires, through the storms of the life, he has our back, because he holds our future. He has called us, and he knows our, you know, he has a purpose for us. And most importantly, the word of God does not lie. So I think, not I think, but the point I want to make is we just need to be encouraged. We need to encourage one another. It's also important, like I've also learned during this period, I've also learned those people who are close to me and those people who are not close to me. I've also managed to see who are my true friends and who are not my true friends. So when you are in those moments, I think God has a separation process. God separates you from so many things and wants you to be refined, and you'll be able to be open your eyes, and you'll be able to see what is around you, and you'll be able to see some of the things that normally you would be overlooking or you wouldn't be able to see. So I just want to say thank you for this word of encouragement, to say that, you know, we need to be rooted in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, understanding and knowing that, you know, in all things we are more than conquerors, in knowing that, you know, as we go through all these things, God, his love is you know, it's enough for us. His mercies are enough for us. His grace is enough for us. So yeah, it's really a very good encouragement word, very good passage. And thank you, Doctor, for that.
Yeah, thank you for your reflections. And indeed, yeah, God is faithful. Stay in that place, and you will come out. You know, season, there's no season that is permanent. And when you come out, you will wonder, ah, so this is what God was preparing me for. Yeah, it is well with you. Rebecca, any reflections on your side?
Thank you for giving the opportunity to share the reflection. I strongly believe that God has a big power, and we are tiny in the world. So as a human being, always we have to believe on God and depend on him. We are the great creation of God, so we have to help the people and also share the gospel of God. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your reflections. Indeed, we can depend and count on God. Yeah, He loves us, and He has a good plan for our lives. Let us pray, and as we close, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've spoken to us today. That indeed you're calling us to enter your rest, O God, and indeed to check our hearts, that we be not hardened to you, that we be obedient, that we stay believing. We hold fast to our confession. We stay in that place of the word that you've given us, and we mix it with faith, O God, that we receive the profit that you have for us. And I thank you that, Lord, in all these things, what we need is your mercy. What we need is your grace. And I thank you that mercy and grace are available for us, O God. And whatever situation your children need, O God, where they have failed, grant them mercy. Where judgment speaks against them, grant them mercy, O God. And indeed, where they need grace, release grace, O God. Let grace find them. Let grace be multiplied in their lives. Let them experience love. Let them experience favor. Let doors be opened, O God. Let your healing hand flow, O God. Let your blessings flow upon your children, O God. Situations that have continued for long, we put an end to them in the name of Jesus. We declare newness of life, newness of grace, that in a day you can change any situation. Nothing can stop when you have asked it to move forward. And I thank you that indeed every door that is locked, you can open it, and you are able to open it. And even as we rest and reflect on the word, may your hand be upon us, touch us, meet us at our point of need. Remember our family members, be with them. Every need that is not mentioned here, anyone that is sick, remember our brother, our sister who is unwell, we pray for your hand over them. We thank you and we honor you. Thank you that you have healed them, O God. By your stripes we were healed, and I thank you that your work is accomplished in them, O God, and in us, O God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We return all the glory to you, God, and we say thank you in advance for your miracles, for your answers, and for your blessings. May your name be praised and be adored. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, dog.